Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. I have just 6 points. I think there's 7 spaces for you to fill in. Let's just go through here. I'll try not to read too much, but basically I put like a commentary, an explanation on the right-hand side. So there's 4 columns, the key word, which you'll fill out, the passage, which is somewhat outlined, the summary phrase, it goes into a little more detail, and then the explanation. I give some initial observations at the top of your notes. Here they are. Number one, God made sure Jesus had an earthly father to provide for him, to protect him, and to train him. And number two, God made sure Mary kept the husband that she had been promised to. And I believe this affirms biblical marriage as the God-intended foundation for children. I believe that's a huge message that's lost in the mire of Christmas in our day. We're looking at a baby in a manger, the wise men or whatever, and we miss what God makes sure is there for Jesus. He wasn't a rich family. It wasn't all of that. But he had a mom and a dad that were righteous and godly people. God does not guarantee that he will fulfill our plans, but he certainly can fulfill his own plans. Mary had no idea what she was getting into. She had no idea what would happen to her. But she said, let it be to me, your maidservant. Remember she said that? And she was at the Lord's mercy. She could have lost everything. She had no idea, I believe, what would happen. She wasn't told what would happen. She was just told that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. He would take the throne of his father David, and of his reign there would be no end. But she had no idea what would be what would happen to her, what people would say, how this would flesh out. She didn't know. God didn't tell her. Okay, but God made sure that her husband stayed with her. God made sure that Jesus had a father and that Mary had a husband. What is that?
I don't know, but I guarantee you. Is it feedback? Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm going to sneak out there and see if you can find Lynn. Yeah. Okay, number one, I call it progression. Progression. And the reason I want you to see it this way. In fact, throughout the text in the second column, I have words underlined that have to do with timing. Okay, that was the first word I used instead of progression was timing. But it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Jesus, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So you get that? So tell me what happened. What's the timing here? What and what?
After Mary was betrothed, her promise.
Okay.
To Joseph.
So she's already promised to a husband,
right.
But what has not happened yet? They haven't been formally married. I mean, she's still living over here, and he's still living over here. That was normally the betrothal period, I think, was normally a year. Okay? Okay, so they're engaged, but they're not married yet. That's the way you could say that. Okay, it's after they're engaged, but before they were married. This is maybe the way you'd say it in our modern terminology. She was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Summary phrase, Joseph finds out. Joseph finds out, and that's in that third column there. Now look at the explanation. I'll just read it and maybe blabber while I go here. This verse gives a brief order of events. Mary was promised to Joseph. Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, everyone found out. Okay? She was found the child of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't tell us the details. There's no evidence that Mary told Joseph anything. Maybe when he asked, even then, there's no evidence. It might just be that she found out. Maybe she didn't even have the openness to be able to share in that culture. I don't know. You know, it's not like us today where you text or call or whatever. She might not even have been able to talk to him. I don't know. Okay. Even if she could, who would or could believe her? And I said even would. Who would believe such thing? Okay, it never had happened before. It sounds like a big lie. Joseph in some way found out about Mary's pregnancy. And now, this is all guessing. Was she discovered because she was showing at this time? Mary had spent 3 months with Elizabeth before this. Maybe, and it doesn't give us the timing, she was with Elizabeth 3 months. Is this at 6 months? When she started showing, she hadn't told anyone, but it's like, Mary, what is going on? You look pregnant. Was that her parents? Was it her friends? Or you know? Did Joseph find out by gossip? You know, how did Joseph find out? It doesn't say. It sounds out that the community found out, and maybe that's the way Joseph found out. Did you hear about Mary? And I put even one here, did Mary's parents have to break the news to him? Because the betrothal was usually not just the guy and the gal, it was the parents were heavily involved. A lot of cultures are like that, yet today, maybe not as much in Western culture, but they are. They're very much involved. That they come over and notify him that, hey, she's pregnant. Okay? So that's the progression here. It's after they were engaged, but before they were married. They had not been in any way immoral or intimate. Okay? She was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Number two, I put two words. The one I sent to the teachers only had one. But purity and privacy. Okay? I put both of those together. You really need them both. Okay? We talked about this last week. Betrothal. Betrothal is not like engagement today in what way? It was legally binding. When you were betrothed, you were already legally married in a sense. That's why the King James used the term to write her a bill of divorcement. You had to legally break that relationship. Where an engagement, it's like, no, I don't want to be married anymore. I changed my mind. Let's not get married. People can decide that all day long if they want here. But a betrothal there, it was legally binding. Okay, so if someone was found pregnant, hence immoral, what had to happen? That was considered adultery. Because you were already promised to somebody legally, and you had to be divorced in that culture in order to break the engagement. Okay? Purity and privacy. Here's the passage. Then Joseph, so you have before they were engaged, before they came together, Mary was found with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that says a huge thing about Joseph. Just like Mary was pure, Joseph is just. He was righteous. And not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Two summary phrases. Joseph desires purity. I'll talk about that in a second. And Joseph displays compassion. Now, what do we mean about this? Look in the right side here. Joseph wanted to obey God and yet be kind to Mary. You see both of those evident in this passage. Because Joseph thought that the only possible explanation for Mary's pregnancy had to be immorality, right? There's no other explanation, which is sin. He had to separate from her to honor God. That was the appropriate response. Joseph wasn't being reactive. He was being righteous. Instead of putting her through the public legal separation, a public legal separation, which he could have done, and apparently people often did, to shame the people further in a public way, he still desired to show kindness to her by privately canceling the legally binding betrothal by means of divorce. That's what it would be called. A divorcement. Okay? That shows you a huge thing about Joseph, doesn't it? Number one, he's a righteous man. He honors God. He responds to sin as God desires him to. But at the same time, he's a compassionate person. That paints a beautiful picture of Joseph and the kind of man he was and the kind of man God chose to be the earthly father of Jesus. Correct.
Even though he was a godly man, since something like this had happened, there's no way that...
Well, and
even their faith, and it doesn't mean he didn't have strong faith.
No, he had strong faith. In fact, I believe this. His two responses are very evident of strong faith. He's going to put her away because that's how God would respond to sin. He's going to put her away privately or secretly because that's evidence of God's love, too. That's a loving response to sin.
But it wasn't legal. Legally, he should have done the divorce.
No, he still was going to divorce her. He just wasn't going to make it a public... You could have had a public setting that lambasted her and further scorned her. He still was going to put her away, but he was going to put her away privately rather than publicly. You can do it quietly, just file the paperwork, do whatever the process, or you can do it publicly and get all the friends and family around and the whole neighborhood and castigate her publicly. He could have done that. And he chose not to do that. You know, and how many would have done that? Because you're so hurt, you're offended, you know, how could you do this to me and all this? Joseph wasn't that way. He still very much cared about Mary's welfare, even though at this point he thought she had sinned against him and against God. That's how big of a man this guy was.
But by legally doing that, even in private, did that void their betrothal?
Yes. That's what he hadn't done it yet. Remember, he was thinking about it. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. So he hadn't done anything yet. This, he's like, probably overwhelmed, and as a righteous man before God, wanting to honor God, he can't just ignore sin. Okay. And I think there was a public expectation as well as private that he respond properly. And at the same time, he cared for Mary beyond his own relationship with her. It appears that I don't want to make it any worse on her than it already is. That was his compassion. And that shows amazing maturity and spirituality. Because oftentimes, don't we like to just turn the knife? You know, just we like to, you know, we want to make sure you feel how bad we hurt. Joseph wasn't that way. That is amazing. If there's a gracious compassion in Joseph that that shows how mature he was spiritually. Okay. Now look at number three. Purity and privacy. Number three is pondering. This goes into more detail. These are all P's, as you know. Pondering or thinking. He was pondering. He said, but while he thought about these things, so he was still thinking. So there's a while, all this, he was, okay, he's heard the news somehow. We don't know how. You know, we don't know if Mary told him or not. We don't know if she could. Probably not. I mean, come on. Again, who would believe that? Mary was at the mercy of God. Parents, maybe, or maybe just gossip. We're trying to figure out how to picture this in the film. Okay? And I think the picture you'll see is here's Joseph looking, and there's two girls talking and pointing at Mary. Okay? With her head down or something. You know, she's being talked about. How fast does gossip travel?
Bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. And even more so if it's something bad, you know, people like to spread that. Okay? So anyway, pondering. But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. So there's two parts here. Joseph fears choices. He's not sure what to do. And it says that do not be afraid. So that's where I'm getting that. He's fearing what to do. I mean, it's like no matter what he does, he loses. There's bad results because of it. Okay? And the angel directs Joseph. Now notice the explanation on the right. It might be that Joseph was afraid about what would happen to Mary when he separated from her. There seems to be something along those lines that he was worried not just for himself, but for her. That could be part of the fear. Okay? Because no matter what happens, what's going to happen to her? Folks, in our society, you can be pregnant out of wedlock and it's almost common anymore. Okay? Back then, it was still very bad. Okay? Societally so. It would place even, when he separated from her, it would place even greater trouble upon her, bringing her pregnancy and supposed sin to permanent exposure and greater scorn. Because here's a gal, now with the baby, who doesn't have a husband for the rest of her life, most likely. And so every time and every place, she would be scorned. Now, is this true? Would that have happened? They were still talking about Jesus being an illegitimate child when he was over 30 years old in Scripture. That's how bad it was. Even after Joseph married her. So you can imagine the talons of society, what they would have done to Mary. Wherever she went, how they would have treated her like a outcast. Joseph knew that. I don't know if that would be considered adultery in the betrothal period in that sense of the word. It could be, but at the same time, I don't know if Rome allowed them to do so. Stephen was stoned to death, but oftentimes they were doing that without the authority of Rome. Okay, that was like, let's have a stoning party. Let's not ask. It's, you know, people say it's easier to ask forgiveness than ask permission. That's what the Jews were doing to the Christians. Rome didn't say you could. Oh, sorry, forgot to ask. We stoned him anyway. Okay. So, but I don't think that was the danger here, though. Maybe that was a fear also. Good question. I don't know. I don't think they were stoning people normally. That's why the Jews couldn't put Jesus to death. They had to get Roman permission to do so. They had to go to Pilate to get Pilate to crucify him because they did not have the legal right at that time to do that. So I don't think they could stone people, even though at times they did anyway. But under the Old Testament law, that if it was applied and could be applied, that could have been a very real risk. Okay, notice here, Joseph might even have considered marrying her for her own sake. This is my speculation. But there seems to be some inference that he's trying to weigh out what to do, and he seems to be a big enough man that he might have married her anyway. It doesn't say that, but notice here it says, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. It seems like maybe he was thinking about that as an option, if nothing else more for her sake. Okay? I'm not saying that's for sure, but that seems to be what it's implying. Like the other, put her away privately, or the other one, maybe I should just marry her anyway because of the effects of her sin. Okay? And the society and all that. The angel tells him not to be afraid to do so. Somehow the angel communicated to him through a dream rather than making a physical appearance as an angel did with Mary. Regardless, Joseph had no doubt or question of its validity. He didn't just have a bad pizza night. Okay? And I honestly believe, and I'm trying to think about how to picture this, I don't think he was sleeping and had a dream. It seems like he fell asleep as the process to God communicating to him. So he might have been sitting there. Remember, while he was thinking about these things, an angel appeared to him in a dream. So somehow, and this happened in the Old Testament some too, guys would go into some kind of trance or whatever, but it wasn't just like, oh, I had a dream and there was purple people and, you know, and all this stuff. It was God communicating to him via a dream. You know, Pharaoh got communicated to God in the Old Testament in a dream, things like that. This was an angel that somehow talked to him, but it wasn't a physical presence, apparently, like Mary. It was him in a dream. So I don't know why, in any way, shape, or form, why God did things differently in different ways. But Joseph, you know, I picture him at being at the table trying to think this through, and all of a sudden he dozes off. You know, like this, however it was, but he'd be in a dream, and all of a sudden he, you know, wakes up again, be aroused from sleep. So it was a God-induced sleep, it appears, and God aroused him from sleep to communicate to him through a dream. And again, it was an angel communicating to him in a dream. It wasn't a dream of an angel. Does that make sense? That's what it appears. It's different than what we're thinking. It's not pretend. It's not fiction. It's a real angel communicating to him through his dream. That's what it was. Okay. By the way, also, I ignored this in the explanation, but son of David is a huge term. Joseph was a descendant of David, as was Mary. I'll hit more on that a little later. Number four, pregnancy. 4 of 6. Pregnancy. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those are those timing words again. The angel explains the baby. And again, this has to happen this way. Okay? Only God, providing a supernatural messenger, would allow Joseph to believe that Mary had not sinned. Anything else is outside the realm of reason and expectation. He's not being unreasonable to assume that Mary had been immoral. And only by direct revelation from God would that change. Okay? Only God providing a supernatural messenger would allow Joseph to believe that Mary had not sinned. That was reasonable, that's normal, that is right and good. God sent this angel to clearly explain that, and I have 3 points here. Mary's pregnancy was of the Holy Spirit, clearly stated. Mary had not sinned, that's implied. Mary was still a virgin. She has not done anything wrong. It's God that has worked in her body. And the baby boy to be named Jesus, she was carrying, would be the Savior. That was all communicated to him directly from God. And there's no way to get any of that apart from direct revelation from God. And God was good enough to do that. God worked out all of those details so that Joseph understood that what had gone on was of the Lord. It's interesting too. God fixed the small pieces, the direct pieces, but he didn't take away the scorn that was there for the rest of their lives. Okay? God allows us to go through things at times. People could believe or not believe as they wanted to. And oftentimes people choose to believe the worst. Number 5 is prophecy. Matthew now, he's writing this account, says this, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with the child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, God with us. Okay? The Bible told before. I'm using three-letter words, so it sounds kind of funny. But the Bible told before. The Bible told this before. Matthew, when he writes, each gospel is written for a different reason. Matthew writes his gospel primarily to the Jews to say, this indeed is the Messiah. Look what the Old Testament did, said. Look what happened. Look what the Old Testament said. Look what happened. He does this throughout the book of Matthew, referring over and over again to the Old Testament. This is him writing, and it's not the angel talking. Okay, he said, this was done, that it might be fulfilled. Everything that God had foretold came to pass. Now, my explanation. This is apparently Matthew's explanation, not the angel's, where he ties in what happened regarding Jesus' birth to Old Testament prophecy, the purpose of the book of Matthew primarily. Matthew quotes from Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Isaiah's prophecy was given around 700 years before Jesus' birth and clearly indicates that God would come to earth as a male child and that He would be born to a virgin. What had been foretold had now come to pass. Okay? So, and Joseph would have been aware of a lot of this too, because he was a Jew and had been trained in, you know, in the Old Testament to some degree or another. Number six, last word here, promptness. Again, another indication of Joseph. Some people do sermons about people. They're called character studies, and you could have a sermon about Joseph, about his character and responses and what that indicated about him and how we should reflect that same attitude. Promptness. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Two statements here. Joseph obeys God. Joseph marries Mary. Okay, formally marries her. In other words, they end up that now they're together, as before it was like an engagement, like we think of an engagement today, legally binding engagement. She becomes his wife, moves in with him, you know, which would have happened at the end of the betrothal period. Did you have a question?
Yeah, is this process of marrying Mary, is that set up by what she's done or what?
It's, yes. Yes. Well, number one, she's pregnant. So the normal response is not to marry her any longer. It's to put her away. But number two, it seems to have sped it up a little bit. Because they weren't ready yet to be married. It wasn't like they called off the wedding. Okay. They were. So it seems like it sped it up a little bit. I don't know how long. Normally the betrothal period was a year, but, you know. It seemed to be that she was found out to be pregnant before the time had come for them to be married. Joseph, he's aroused from sleep, okay? He wakes up. Joseph immediately obeyed God when he woke from sleep, okay? That's all he needed. He was trying to figure out what to do in the righteous way and do right by Mary for her sake. And this answered all of his questions. And he, even though the word was out that his wife-to-be was immoral, there's nothing he could do to take that away. That was already public knowledge. But he cared not about that. He was trying to figure out, how do I be righteous and be compassionate? This answered all of his questions. That's all he needed to know. He gets up. And he immediately goes to get Mary. Though the passage does not give a precise command from the angel, Joseph understood it as a command and acted promptly. Joseph immediately, quote unquote, married Mary, went through with the process, okay, of bringing her to his home, and they became formally married then. Okay, that's what would happen at the end of betrothal. What would that have done? And this is huge. I think it's huge on Joseph's part, but also God's part and all that. God had it all planned out. It would have helped provide for her. Okay. And especially, we don't know her family situation, but we assume she had family. Maybe parents, brothers, sisters. That would have been a huge thing for them. Provide for her and, of course, her baby. It would possibly alleviate some of the scorn felt by her family. She's at her house. She would now be in the family of an immoral woman. Right? That the implications would be widespread, and that her family would feel the pain. Maybe not in the same way as Mary would, but that would eliminate some of the ripple effect on them. Joseph would bear that brunt. It wouldn't go away. And then he would certainly reduce to some degree the social rejection that she was experiencing and would yet experience, because now she would be a married mother, not an unmarried mother. Okay? The word was out. To me, it's the illustration of toothpaste out of the tube. There's no way to bring that back. The word's out. It was an incorrect word that Mary was an immoral person. Joseph was couldn't change that, but he could help protect her some, provide for her, but also he would be the shield for her. Amazing, God's plan. Joseph, though married to Mary, was not intimate with Mary until after Jesus was born. Joseph seemingly grasped the holiness and greatness of the child that was growing within her. As far as I can tell, there's no restriction placed on him. I think that was a God in the flesh thing. That this baby was not just a baby. That, and again, the character of Joseph, that he cared more about what God thought and cared more about Mary and cared more about the Son of God, which Mary bore, than himself. Huge. Joseph obediently named the baby Jesus. The usual practice was to name a child after his father, especially the firstborn. They were both told what to name the baby, and Jesus, you know, means Savior, that idea. It wasn't an uncommon name, by the way. According to Luke 1, Mary was told different details about the identity of Jesus. Remember, he'll be the Son of the Highest and blah, blah, blah. Just a few comments here. Both Mary and Joseph were told what name the baby was given to the baby. Both Mary and Joseph were given clear and ample information to leave no doubt that this was the Messiah, the promised one from the Old Testament, God in the flesh. Joseph was not given specific details of Jesus' assumption of David's throne. Remember, Mary was told he would somehow take the throne of Father David and of his kingdom, there'll be no end. But Joseph would have easily made the connection from the Old Testament teachings and his knowledge of his lineage and that of Mary. And remember the greeting that angel, when he appeared to Joseph, he said, Joseph what? Son of David. So Joseph was well aware of his own lineage, and this complied with the prophecy of the Old Testament. So Joseph probably wouldn't need to be told about that, because he probably could have put the pieces together more. Mary didn't know all the details about other things, but she was specifically told that because the right to assume the throne comes through the father, not through the mother. So that would not have been an automatic connection for her, even though she was a descendant of David. Quick little detail. Joseph came from a lineage, I think it's Jeconiah, who was cursed, and the descendants of Jeconiah were cursed and would not be allowed to take the throne. Joseph was of that descendancy. Mary was a descendant, but you don't gain the throne from the female, you get it through the male, the descendancy there. But the way God did it, Joseph still was able to pass on the legal right because he's not the physical parent. Jesus is not a descendant of Jeconiah. Joseph could pass on the legal right. Mary passed on the physical right, and both are still true then. So,
who's Mary's
parents? I don't know. It says it in there, in Luke 2. The lineage is there. I think it's Luke 2.
I see it in Luke 2 and Luke 3, but I don't.
Is it Luke 3?
I don't see where it is, what Mary
Yeah. Yeah, Luke 3. From what most people say, that Luke 3 is the descendancy of Mary. They usually did it to the men, though, and that's why you see Joseph listed there. Because Joseph's parents are clearly stated, Jacob was Joseph's father. In Luke, it says it was Heli. Well, Heli would have actually been Mary's. They just did it through the... They don't do it through the men, they do it, or the women, they do it through the men. So basically, Joseph is the son-in-law of Heli, if that makes sense. There's two other distinctions with the lineages, too. Matthew traces it from Abraham to Joseph. Luke traces it all the way back to Adam. Okay? Matthew concerns the descendancy of Abraham with regard to the Jews. That's the emphasis of Matthew. Luke approaches Jesus as the Son of Man, not the Son of Abraham. So it goes all the way back to Adam. So with each one, it's different descendancy. If you look at, I think it's Nathan, is the son of Nathan, or the son of David is Nathan. That's who Mary is descended from. And Joseph is descended from Solomon.
So you're saying Mary is the descendant of Nathan?
Nathan, not the prophet, Nathan the son of David, yes. So Solomon and Nathan would have been, I think, half-brothers, because David had a handful of wives. Solomon was of Uriah, right? So yeah, so Joseph was a direct descendant of Solomon. And if you will, a right to the throne, except he's a descendant of Jeconiah farther down. So he wasn't the physical father, so he could pass on that legal right. And Mary was a physical descendant of David. So in both ways, he was a descendant of David from both sides of the family. Good stuff. Questions or comments?
Interesting.
A lot there. And I honestly wish people would just study more. Because I think they only cheat themselves. I really do. I think there's so much to be had. And you see the character, even of Joseph. The character of Joseph is something that should be talked about. Who did Jesus choose to be who did God choose to be the father of? And even the parents, I was probably talking about together because they were engaged or betrothed. But they were both righteous, godly people. And yes, God made sure that Jesus had a father and a mother, you know, and all of that. God followed His pattern that He created back in Genesis. And it confirms and affirms that. And in our day, even in churches, maybe not really conservative churches, they're not sure what to think of marriage. Well, if two people love each other, why can't they be of the same gender? You know, and all that kind of stuff. And why can't homosexuals adopt children and all that? It's like it goes back all the way to the beginning. It's a rejection of God's plan. And God confirms that and affirms that all the way through time, including the arrival of the Messiah. Marv, you have something? Oh, and it was even more than that, because the first indication of the Messiah was Genesis 3:15. Remember, that was over 4,000 years. The seed of the woman talked about. So Isaiah was one of the last prophets, and then there was 400 silent years, right? So, I mean, there wasn't hard anymore, but you know, it told that he would be born in Bethlehem. Lots of different things. Rachel would, you know, the Rachel's children weeping, the story of Herod killing all those children and all of that. So we're not going to cover that as one of the scenes of Christmas. I say, why isn't there a Christmas carol about the killing, the murdering of the children? Because it shows you how desperate the world didn't want the Savior and all of that and all the terribleness that went on. Genesis 3:15 was the first indication of the woman bearing her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Yeah, and all the way through, Psalms has a bunch of it. Psalm 22, Jesus dying on the cross is there. You know, my Father, why have you forsaken me? That's in Psalm 22. That's 2,000 years before Jesus came on the earth. Absolutely. He was taking that on his shoulders. Yeah. It never went away, though. Joseph apparently had died, and Jesus was in his early 30s in ministry, and they were still calling him an illegitimate child. Why should we listen to this son of an illegitimate, you know? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something they bore all of their lives. And can you imagine, Mary and Joseph had children between themselves. Jesus had, at least 3 brothers and 2 sists, at least, because it lists them, or maybe it's 4 brothers. James, right, was one. Think of the castigation they got. It wasn't easy. It wasn't, but God still did it. But He foretold that all the way from the prior to that. So.
What's next week?
Next week is we're going to look at the proclamation of Caesar as a separate entity, and then we're going to have that's, I think, Matthew 2. So the fact of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, we're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at Jesus' birth the week after that. So we're separating those out because there's a lot to be considered there as well. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, bless us as we just ponder Your amazing workings in our history and providing salvation to us. And just thank You that we have the Word of God that we can go back to over and over and learn from. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for Your interest and Your study.